This week's Focus on Business is about strive for success. It's based on a blog post that I just wrote for a leadership blog. STRIVE is an acronym. It stands for setting objectives, to take action, to review your results, to involve others in decision-making, to view the future, and finally, to embrace the successes in the process. And so I want to walk through all of those, but let me kind of set it up. For the purposes of success, defining success, success is an action. It's not a noun. It's a journey, not a destination. And when we're measuring success, we want to think of it in terms of forward momentum or in making progress, any sense of progress. It's taking one step after another. It's striving for success. It's a process. It's an action. It's everything that you're doing. It's every beneficial activity that your organization is undertaking. It's every decision. It's getting people throughout the organization involved in accountability and responsibility and execution. So truly successful businesses and the people within them, the people that own them, the people who are employed in them that are successful are able to accumulate financial wealth as a product of that journey. So wealth is not the objective, but wealth is the byproduct of being successful. Because the exchange of value, the exchange of money for your product, for your service, for your technology, for your combination of product, service, and technology is a measure, a metric of how successful you are at getting your message out, finding the right customer, giving that customer value and benefit while you're solving their problem or fulfilling a need. So again, wealth is a byproduct of success, of serving others. It's a metric. It's a measurement for how we're progressing. It means that you have found a solution that the marketplace, that your particular customer is willing to exchange financial assets for that benefit, whether that be a product, a service, a technology, or a combination thereof. So financial results are often the first metric we can look at, then arguably the most independent metric from the standpoint of we know what we get from a customer, what that payment is, that dollar amount is, and we know in aggregate what all the customers paid, and we know in aggregate what we have expensed or what it cost us to accumulate the resources and the assets that we needed to produce that sale, to produce that product we sold. So financial metrics are a measure of success. It's not the only metric, but it's a metric that has comparability. So if we look at a financial statement and it says revenues were $100,000 for one company and revenues were $1 million for another, we can compare the sizes of those entities based on revenue. We could also look at companies based on the number of employees they employ. There's any number of metrics that we could put out there quantitatively and qualitatively to assess and define success in an organization. So our foundation when we're looking at our businesses, when we're looking at comparing year to year, looking at trends, looking at our business compared to competitors' businesses or other businesses out in our community or in our environment or just businesses in general, we can do so on the metrics of financials and how many people we employ. But again, when we're looking at business models and successful business models, the foundation of our success, that STRIVE model that I want to talk about, is that organizations consistently are proactive in their ability to interact with their environment. That's the internal and external factors that are impacting their ability to do business, to find the customers, to make the sale. And so I see a lot of businesses and a lot of people in businesses that are super, well, busy. There's a lot of activity going on, but a lot of that activity is unnecessary activity. It's unproductive activity. It's activity that just makes us tired. It doesn't make us productive. It doesn't move us along that success path, that journey that we're taking. So when we're talking about success being an action, it has to be actions that are meaningful, that are beneficial, that are ultimately contributing to the profitability and the sustainability of our businesses. If our businesses don't make money, if we don't make a profit, we don't have money to invest back in our businesses for growth. We don't have money to invest back in our employees with higher wages and better benefits. There's a whole lot of things we don't do if we're not a profitable business. So profit, I know a lot of people have a almost heartburn or whatever you want to say about for-profit entities, but for-profit entities have a role. And again, we're back to saying that the financial asset exchange of what I produce as a business in goods and services and technology and solutions for my customers, if I am paid an amount that is greater than my expenses, that contains profitability, then that's really critical to the long-term longevity and benefit of me as an owner of the business, my investors and my businesses, my other customers and my employees and my vendors and my community, because I'm paying taxes on that profit. And so everything comes together to be about success, having a metric of performance measured in terms of financial results. And so when we're looking at what we're doing, we want every activity, or at least 99% of them, or close to 99% of them, to be productive activities. So however we look at our businesses, we want to look at it as a combination of activities coming together to generate financial results, profits, and that those activities that we're striving with are going towards a set of objectives that are meaningful to the business. So that S in STRIVE is setting your objectives. So the first foundational element of striving for success is to have a purpose, to have a point, to have a metric, to have a goal, to have a vision, to have a mission for your organization that you can align all of those activities that you're engaged in, from the janitor cleaning the building to the truck driver delivering products to your customers or delivering products to you, to the person answering the phone at the front desk, to you as the business owner or the business manager, to every person in the organization, knowing what the business is in business to do. What is that core set of critical activities that enable us to acquire resources of people, money, equipment, tools, all those inputs to what are needed to produce our solution for the marketplace, and how we convert those inputs and those resources into the product we deliver to the customer. So we're setting an objective or objectives, I'll say at most two or three, that your organization can focus on to achieve success, because those objectives are what is going to set our priorities on what activities we engage in, what actions we take, where our limited resources are allocated. And so we're looking at our objectives as our North Star, our guiding point for our organizations. And so when we're thinking about categories of activities and actions we can take, we talk about those activities in different ways. We can call them direct activities, the ones that are where we're engaged in directly serving the customer, directly producing the products and services and technology that the customer is buying. And those more indirect activities that are the administrative and enabling activities of the business that have value that don't go directly to the customer and are not directly about selling or fulfilling the promises to the customer, but are there to help us build the customer, collect the money, follow up after the sale and do customer service and customer care, have someone answer the phone for the next sale, make sure the invoices are correct, make sure we're complying with laws and regulations, that we're doing benefits and payroll and things properly, all of those types of enabling, supporting activities. Over the years, we've seen those activities referred to in accounting terms as burden, the load the direct cost carries. But the reality is, without those core infrastructure costs that provide systems of getting us paid, of paying our vendors, of acquiring like procurement, acquiring the tools and assets of what we need to do, of HR, making sure our employees are well taken care of and that we have benefits. If without those, our organizations do not succeed. So those activities are necessary. They're just not directly related to the customer. They're directly related to us being in business and being able to be successful. So we think of those activities in our organizations as revenue or cost drivers. Revenue drivers are direct. They relate to the transactions that were taking place, that exchange of financial assets with our customers. And then there are activities that are strictly cost driven. Those are the ones that are those support activities in our organization that I was just talking about. So if you want to keep your business growing, if you want to be focused on that set of objectives that we've identified, and if we want all of our actions in the organization to be properly aligned, then we need to understand the activities that take place in our business and whether they're driving revenue or they're driving costs or they're driving a combination of those driving profits. So however our organization is engaged, we want our activities to be useful, beneficial, and contribute to the success of the organization. So we think of our business as a set of actions, a set of activities that we engage in. And we need to look at those core competencies, those activities that we need to niche into in our organization, that we need to focus on to make sure that we are maximizing the use of our limited resources of time, people, tools, equipment, our assets, to make sure we're getting the biggest return on the investment and on those assets. So in our organizations, we want our own organizations engaged predominantly, the majority of the time, better than 90 or 95% of the time, on activities that produce resources, use resources economically, and don't waste resources that are not productive. So beneficial revenue producing activities, those direct and indirect support activities, fall into several categories. The first category I like to think of as those things that you do in the short term to keep yourself in business that you have to do. They preserve the ability to do business. They get you, the short term gets you to the midterm and the long term. So these are the things that happen that if you ignore them, you know, a few weeks, a few months from now, maybe a year from now, you might not be in business because you ignored them, or your business is substantially contracted or damaged because you didn't pay attention to those short-term obligations, those short-term activities. So that's like maintaining your existing capacity and ability to do business, your existing systems, processes, and infrastructure. The second category of activities we think of, or at least I do, as structural and central to the business. Those are activities that give us our capacity to do business and to serve the customer. And when we're thinking about the first category of activities, those that were keeping us in business, that's where we work on the business to keep it engaged, to keep it capable, to keep it functioning. The second category of businesses I'm going to think activities are where I want you to think of you being engaged in working in the business and serving the customer. It's about generating sales, delivering on commitments to the customer. It's about producing product. It's about those revenue and cost drivers that enable production of profit, enable our sales, and enable the delivery. It enables that exchange of financial assets and benefits. And then our third category are the long-term type of activities, excuse me, and actions. So these are strategic, operational, and financial actions that are like planning, that are like budgeting. It's thinking the long-term future of your business, and you're sitting here today with one objective, and in 10 years you want to be somewhere else doing, you know, say today you're doing $1 million in sales, and in 10 years you want to be doing 20 million in sales. What are these activities and actions and this planning in this forward-looking actions that you need to be doing to be able to produce that larger amount, that $20 million in revenue in 10 years. And so these are capacity analysis types activities. These are capacity increasing activities. These are looking at your results and understanding what's driving your results, what you should do more of, what you should do less of. And it's examining each of your lines of business to determine what your current levels are, what future levels in the existing type of business that you're in, lines of business, you're going to do more of, and what quantity or activities and new lines of business are you going to add into the organization? How are you going to invest? How are you going to design the new capacity? How are you going to have an organization engaged in growth?